All right, everybody, welcome back to the Dylan Gemelli podcast, and my pleasure to bring back to you the original first guest that I've ever had on the Dylan Gemelli podcast. This is my man, Kenny KO.
Thanks for having me on again, my man. I appreciate it, brother.
Absolutely, man. I've been wanting to have you on now for some time, but I know that you've been busy and I've got a crazy schedule, so I'm really glad we got a chance to do this today. We got a ton of stuff to go over. Last time we talked, I mean, we kind of did a little bit of everything, but I want to get into some different topics that I've seen you post about that are a little troubling to me. And then I want to talk about some of your experiences and stuff. I watched everything you do beyond the fact that it's being good. You're one of my boys. So because I've seen some crazy shit that you've dealt with. Will you tell us about a couple of the like craziest things that you've had done, whether it's somebody threatening you or just some wild stuff that you've encountered that's been sad, or just some of your favorites?
I mean, the first one that definitely comes to mind, I can't talk about too much just because maybe people will be able to piece it together if they look back at my really old content, but there was a lawsuit that broke out with this individual.
Oh shit.
Which, is over, of course, like the defamation slander, right? And I can't drop names, but essentially what happened was they were like doing their research, figuring out where like my mom worked, what her name was, who my girlfriend at that time, what her name was, where she worked. And they're messaging me from all these fake accounts being like, this is where so-and-so works, blah, 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 blah. Essentially just threats, you know, just saying like, we have all this information, who knows what they were going to do with it. But yeah. I'm sure people can probably piece together who it was. That's probably the craziest instance. I haven't really had anyone confront me in person other than one time. It was Mike Rashid at Olympia of, I believe, 2019, if I'm not mistaken. And I think that video still might be up on my YouTube channel. But he was dating a girl that had, you know, beef with someone that covered a topic, and he thought that I caused their breakup and all this crazy stuff. So then he probably, you know, just lost his mind due to the gear usage, and then wanted to confront me in person.
I was talking to my wife about this. Oh, it's been probably a week now, and I was talking about how, you know, people likely would get mad at you, but you're so polite, like the way that you go about it. I mean, like if you watch people in the media go out there, they're just like, they're just cocks the way they come across. You know what I mean? And you do it. You do it in such a pro manner, like super respectful, but even though there's like call outs involved, I don't know how to explain it unless people watch it. But I mean, I guess
think also because you've experienced it in person, like you've met me in person.
Right.
A lot of people just kind of see my alter ego, I guess is what you'd call it online, right? Where I'm just the troll calling people out over their BS, but they don't like see how I am in person. Because I feel like you get such a deeper connection or understanding of someone when you get to actually like feel their presence there in person.
Yeah, definitely. Do you ever get nervous at all? Or I mean, at this point, is it just like, whatever?
Nah, dude, it's never been like, even since the beginning, like 2017, when I started calling out Brad Castleberry and all them back in the day, going to expos for the first time. Even then it was nothing that like some people would have such trouble probably doing that, I imagine. But for me, I've just always been like that. Just never, I guess, afraid of like really anything.
Do you plan on continuously just kind of sticking with the same kind of stuff for longer term, or is there anything you're going to branch out on and do? I mean, because they never get old, honestly. So I don't know.
This is where I'm always conflicted, because I mean, I'm sure you know too, as a content creator, and anyone that's done content, I'm sure can relate to this, where you kind of get the burnout of doing the same type of stuff on like rinse and repeat over and over and over. And you know, some people will ask you, do this video. And then you're like, I have done that video 10 times.
Right.
So then it's like, you're doing the same videos essentially almost over and over and over. And that's like my now you're not content. But then the problem is, then you want to diversify out. And sometimes it works and then you find some new niche. But then there's also that core audience that wants that original content that they followed you over. So there's always going to be a part of my audience that wants the natty or not content. But then as a content creator, you know, I'm always wanting to try and do new things. So it's kind of the balance of trying to keep one audience happy while also trying to bring like a new audience also in, maybe starting like new channels and whatnot. But I always just have a passion for, I guess, entertainment under the umbrella.
Definitely. That's where I got. It's like, I've done so many, like you can only do Anavar facts so many times and D-ball facts and go over it 30 different ways, how to cycle it. And I got to the point where it's just like, man, I'm so tired of this. And then, like you said, people only know you one way, right? They know one persona. They don't know nothing about you. That's kind of why I started doing the podcast. Well, now that's all I want to do. You know what I mean? I barely do the other content. So it gets to the point where you just kind of got to, I guess my advice, I guess, from doing it so long would be do whatever you find that you enjoy the most. Cause then it, sometimes if you cater to the audience too much, it does, they can, you don't enjoy what you're doing and it doesn't come across as good. Right. Cause you can see how much you love what you do. It's very easy to see.
And that's actually a really good point though, because I experienced that where I was starting to cater more to what people were requesting more than the content I actually wanted to make. And that I wasn't as passionate about it. And you could see it kind of like as the years went on in just the editing and the actual personality of me behind the camera. Mm-hmm. Versus if it's something I'm excited about and I want to do, for instance, the expo ones, I always want to do the expo ones because I like going and socializing in person, kind of like a podcast setting, how you're enjoying doing that. Right. I think it's just a more genuine, fun experience than, you know, sitting just in front of a camera talking about Anavar, you know, again and again and again. Because I've done it and you've been doing it so much longer than I have, because like we said in the first podcast, you know, I was watching you before I ever started doing YouTube. So just, you know, avoiding the creator burnout, but having fun while doing it, but still trying to somehow keep the audience. It's just this fine balance and limbo.
Well, and the cool thing with what you do is you're always engaging with somebody new, and it's continuous engagement, you know, and you're at different expos and you're around different people. So it's awesome. Do you find that it's tough, like scheduling and finding expos, and is it the travel tough on you and everything like that? Or do you just enjoy doing it that way?
So in the past, I've worked with sponsors that kind of flew me out and would cover that type of stuff for me. I always liked going to the expos because I thought it was a fun time, not only to get the content and try and get like these crazy clips and, you know, confrontations, call outs or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. But then also, of course, then you have the fans and stuff that are going. So you get to meet a lot of the people that are actually watching your videos and put a face to the name. Because, of course, DMing someone is going to be one thing, but then actually seeing the person, having an interaction with them, getting to talk to them is a whole nother thing, too. Right. I'm sure you got to see, too, when you were at Olympia, just the people that approach you and thank you for, you know, the knowledge you taught them on certain compounds and steering them in the right direction of what to do, what not to do. So I think it's just rewarding in that sense alone, too.
It really took me aback. I mean, it humbled the shit out of me. It kind of changed me as a person, if I'm being totally honest, because I was never aware. I was always kind of a prick. Like, and when I say that, it's like I was very territorial. I never called people out on videos, but I would say stuff like not even knowing about people, like just like I know better or whatever. And that humbled me so much. And I came to amends with the fact that, like, what are you doing here? Like, these should all be your friends. And my whole life has changed since going there. Honestly, like it was a real eye opener, and it was one of the best things that I ever did. And I told you before, my wife convinced me to go. I didn't want to go. And I'm so thankful that I did. And I think that if people had like, you know, more open mind to other people's ideas and ways they do stuff and not thinking we always know everything, it's absolutely amazing. I seriously changed my whole life around. Then you did my first podcast with me, and I've been rolling now with this, and it's made me so happy. And you could see it when I do stuff, and you can tell the attitude change. So it's really refreshing, man.
I think for the people watching too, I mean, you can definitely know. I know I noticed too, like even content creators I follow and I adamantly watch, I can tell if their persona and stuff starts to get that kind of creator burnout sense, mm-hmm. where you just sense that there's not as much passion behind it as there used to be. And they're more so just doing it because they have to. Kind of like if you're going to a 9-to-5 job, it's like, you got to show up and you got to do that.
Right.
Just to like, you know, keep your income, keep the roof over your head. But you kind of start to sense that there's not that passion or that initial drive of when they initially started. So I'm always trying to kind of like revert back to that if I can, you know, where it's starting new things. That's why I kind of like did the AVN series, which is the adult star one, like interviewing them, going to different expos. You know, what was really interesting, my buddy, Jack West, he sent me, I won't get the name of it wrong, but it's basically kind of like a fat acceptance expo up in Washington, I believe. And he was like, bro, we should have went to this. This would have been a gold mine of content. And it would have been. I didn't know that was a thing. And then now I'm like, shit, I'm gonna have to go up there next year, just because I don't know. I just want to go to a bunch of different expos, get a bunch of different types of content for people.
I'm sure there's probably stuff that me, you would probably never even know of, and you would just have to randomly, luckily find out or run across. So I bet there's a ton of stuff for you to do that you can kind of expound on what you do and add to everything you're doing. I think that would be awesome.
And that's the nice part too, is I think a lot of people too that want to get into the content, they don't realize that really you can do anything. I mean, live streaming has become huge over the last year. That's probably like one of the biggest, most popular draws, is if you're good at live streaming.
Yeah.
You can pull that off. That's phenomenal. You can make content doing anything, skits, interviews, podcasts. I mean, we know social media is essentially taking over the world now. We all live on our phones and whatnot, and you can just film stuff from your phone. So you can really make videos doing anything.
And this has nothing to do with anything, but I'm going to tell you, I don't know if you remember, I was asking you what kind of camera you had, and I'm telling you, dude, I bought 3 different cameras and I got so pissed off and upset because I'm like, I spent hours with them. I said, fuck it. I don't even care anymore. I'm going to use my phone and the webcam. And I just totally gave up. I don't know how
There's times where, I mean, obviously my camera is probably like, I think like $3,000 to $4,000, like lens and everything included. But there's still times like, bro, I'll literally use my phone.
Yeah.
Because it's just the convenience of, you know, it's on you, like it just auto goes to the settings and whatnot. You can just like film a skit or something real quick, you know, versus a camera, you have to fine tune everything, make it all perfect, get the settings all right. I think just that can be, you know, too much. I have all this equipment stuff. I still use my phone. So
it's too convenient. So, okay. And this is not necessarily a call out, so I don't want to do that, but I just want your opinion.
Call me out. This is what I live for. I've been waiting for this moment.
Gosh damn it. I want to ask your opinion, because you did a video on this, and John Brav was a friend of mine, and he did a video on, Greg Doucette's Turkesterone recently, and he just doesn't like Greg. I mean, clearly, and I don't.
Yeah, that's pretty evident for sure.
Yeah, I think it's pretty evident. I won't get into everything he calls him, but I've had private conversations with him. But the whole Turkesterone thing, I saw you did a video on it because I was researching like what he's done in the past with it. Because I don't follow him. I don't want to say anything bad about him. His voice, I can't stand it. That's all I'm going to say. And so I saw you did a video about, I think it was about a year ago, and then it looks like he re-came out with it again. What's your thoughts on Turkesterone itself? And then what do you think about what he's doing right now with it after all the shit that happened before?
So Turkesterone itself. We'll start with, so I was actually selling Turkesterone on my brand too at one point. This is when Derek, I believe Derek was the first one to kind of start releasing Turkesterone, or at least that ecdysteroid steroid. I think there were ones before Derek, if I'm not mistaken, but he was kind of the one that mainstreamed it into the social media TikTok realm.
Yeah.
So obviously there was a lot of buzz. And then because I was, you know, doing the retail of like 677, Osterine, Carverine, all these ones, everyone was requesting like, yo, Turkesterone. So I did it. After trying it myself, I think it's a good option maybe for the people that don't want to dabble at all into the actual like anabolic realm, even the SARMs, prohormones, anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But is it going to be comparable at all to any actual cycle? No. That's just from what I've seen, studies, other people I know that have taken it and whatnot. But Greg going back to it, I mean, he's a businessman. I'm sure it's just like a money grab. A lot of people were probably still requesting it, wanting to kind of dabble into it. And the thing with me too is if people are going to buy something, I'm never going to hate on a business for selling it, because if people are buying it, you might as well sell it, you know, supply and demand. So if people want it, sell it. You're going to make money on it. If they think that it's working, it's placebo and they want to take it, by all means, go ahead. But I just don't like when content creators or people that are selling things say it's like the be all type of supplement or something, you know, or market it to be this crazy anabolic, super explosive strength, surpass, you know, someone taking Trenbolone and all this stuff. But as long as they're just kind of like actually open and transparent of what it is, and that most of it's probably going to be placebo, it might help ever so slightly or something, then by all means, I mean, capitalize on it.
Yeah. And okay. And that's where I was going with this. You know, if people are going to buy it, like you said, I've used it because Enhanced has it. And so I tried it because I've tried everything there before I started to become sponsored by them. You know, I want to make sure about everything or at least most of the stuff I'm interested in. It's fine. It, you know, it's one of those things where if you're like, I don't see any problem with it. Like if maybe you're 18, 19, 20, and really all you can take is creatine or something, because I'm certainly not going to recommend steroids. So, hey, you know, there's an option for you with your creatine, right? And you get a little bit of strength and maybe a little muscle. But this guy, and I suffered myself to listen through his video on this because it was painful. Because like I said, I can't listen to that voice, but I did. And when he got to the point where he was saying that it was like, test suspension, that's when I was like, this motherfucker, like, you can't say stuff like that, dude.
No, you know? Because then that also gets warped into people's heads, especially because it's going to be a younger demographic. I'd imagine they're kind of interested in the testosterone anyway, so they're going to hear just the word testosterone or something, or anabolic, and they're going to think it's some crazy cycle.
Yeah, and he was going into this, oh, it's just better than Anavar and it's better than Winstrol, and I'm like, man, like, dude, sell your stuff, fine. But don't do that, man. That's like so far off the deep end. It's like, bro, you're trying too hard, and you're
That's where I draw the line on it. Just because, I mean, obviously GNC, they're gonna sell like all their fat burners. Do they actually help? You know, maybe ever so slightly, possibly right. By raising like thermogenesis or something. But I mean, people are still gonna buy it. Sure. So as long as they market it as, yeah, like being more transparent with it. Yeah, as you were saying, you know, if Greg's going out saying that it's a crazy anabolic test suspension or similar, better than Anavar, that's where it's like, okay, like, don't deceive the audience. Just give them the truth of what it is. And then if they want to buy it after you give them the truth, then that's on them, you know, supply and demand.
I know. And the last thing I'm going to say, just because I have to, is his argument about, well, me and my brother are honest people, so you can trust us or not. I'm like, okay, that's not proof, dude. It's not proof. That's not a good one. You sound like a terrible politician. Like, I was just like, oh,
you got that from the Mike O'Hearn politician book.
Yeah. Okay, so now that you said that, that was one of my favorite things I've ever seen was that. And I told you, I said, this dude, absolutely, if he stops doing what he's doing, he should be a politician, the way he danced around that answer.
I think that's really his true calling in life. I think he should be a politician because he is phenomenal at dodging and avoiding questions, but still somehow like working his way around where people forget what the question was initially. He's just, I've never actually seen anyone better than him. He beats actual politicians at it.
I saw, and you know what? You handled that so well, and how you're so calm and collected, because I would have been like, dude, it's a yes or no fucking question. It's yes or it's no. And the way he was dancing, I mean, shit, it was like a 70s disco the way he was dancing, man. It was rough. So how
maybe I could spoil it here, but I mean, hopefully Mike doesn't watch this. But at the next expo, whether that's Arnold or whatever one he attends next, I'm definitely going to bring like a drug test and just kind of get him on the spot.
I love it.
Sit and see if he'll do like a drug test on the spot. And then we can get the actual concrete answer. Hopefully he's unnatural at that time.
Right.
Because then otherwise I'm about to be like, well, guys, he is actually natural.
Yeah. And when my wife saw that huge line for him, she's like, what is that? What's going on there? I said, oh, fuck, whatever. I don't know. And then I saw you up there. I said, gosh, damn it. I'd like to watch this, but I had to go to this roundtable thing I was watching. And oh, man, that was a classic. So anybody that's not watching, go back and watch the Kenny and Mike O'Hearn, because it was a good one. You might get frustrated, but it was good. It was a good watch for sure.
Every time I'm interviewing, I'm just like, dude, just give me a yes, no answer. I'm like, are you on TRT? Here comes the politician response again. And then it's just, are you on TRT? Yes, no. Politician response. It's just, he's so good at it.
I guarantee you inside when he sees you, he's like, fuck me, this fucking guy. Like, I guarantee it, dude. I just know.
For sure. For sure. He knows that he has to play into it, because otherwise he's going to get too much backlash. So he kind of like trolls into the troll.
I'll give him this. He handles it well. Like, he doesn't, you know, I mean, at least he responds and does it. It's pathetic, but he does handle it well. So I guess if I have to give him a little bit of credit, which I don't want to do, I'm going to, but whatever.
I mean, the one thing I will always say about Mike is, regardless of him being a politician and possibly, you know, the biggest fake natural of all time, but behind Liver King before he got busted, still like one of the craziest physiques and work ethics too. You know, even me with probably the most amount of gear imaginable could probably still never attain the physique of Mike O'Hearn, just because that dude's a specimen.
And I will say, even using gear, it doesn't matter, dude. If you don't have the work ethic and that, you're not going to get a physique like that. And I think people are under the misconception. You just start taking shit, you're going to. That takes a lot of discipline.
Unfortunately, that's a big misconception, too. And a lot of people don't realize how big genetics play a role in like how you respond to the anabolics. Because, yeah, I know a lot of guys who take like pretty, you know, maybe not minor cycles, but just like normal level. And then I'll compare it to someone else in the gym who's supposedly taking the same thing. Maybe they have bunk gear or something, but totally difference in physique, like night and day difference. IFBB pro level versus someone that looks like they don't even work out, or maybe they just got, they got into the gym. So
absolutely.
I think a lot of people think it's just like a shortcut or a magic pill, but they don't realize that you need the genetics, the diet, the training, everything with it.
You can only.
And the trenbolone. At a gram per day. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. You can imagine the stress and like the annoyance I've had over the years of dealing with that. I mean, I'm sure you get it a lot. I've been doing it so gosh damn long, and it's a cyclical thing. It never ends because there's always younger guys coming up that think that through whatever reason it may be, whether something they assume, something they saw in the media, something they saw on TV, whatever it is. It's a never ending thing with this, you know, mindset. And I guess the biggest problem is I don't get so upset with that. It's the lack of doing any research, you know, or understanding. It's just taking the word of somebody or the dealer, you know, or whoever it is. And it's like the dude selling you the shit's going to tell you whatever you want to hear, you know?
Yep. And Greg Doucette. No.
Right. Had to do it. I love it. He's going to get bombed this whole fucking podcast, man. Okay. So I was talking to you about this before we started. I got the biggest kick out of this, but then I was like, dude, I have to talk to him about this and I want to get into it a little bit. You did that short. I saw it on Instagram and it was talking about the guys that go to the gym wearing pajama pants. So I want to talk about that, but then I see them in fucking like moccasin slippers too. And it's like,
oh, yeah.
Dude,
the dangly earring. You need the dangly earring in there. Yep.
What has happened? Like, what the fuck happened just everywhere? What is going on? Like, what do you think? Like, because it was a short, get into it a little bit with me so we can, I want to hear your thoughts on this.
All right. So what I've noticed is, I mean, this has been around for a while since social media, but more so in the last couple of years, especially with TikTok influencers and whatnot. So they'll try and replicate obviously these younger demographics of whoever their favorite fitness influencer is, you know, whether it's like Sam Solik or Shizzy or, you know, some of these other guys, like some of them, I don't even know their names, but so they'll find, and then they'll idolize this person. They want to be them. They'll copy their fits. And then, you know, someone else will see it that's in their friend group. Then they wear it. So I don't even know where it originated, the whole like pajama pants and the, you know, the slippers and then. the wife beaters with the, you know, the pajama pants and the dangly earring. It's almost like kind of like stamping like a clone, you know. No one has really like a lot of individuality into the gym anymore, especially in the younger culture, where, you know, it's almost just the same thing from person to person, especially if you go to the more commercial gyms like EOS, LVAC, some of the other ones. Those are just the ones in my area, but I'm sure like Crunch Fitness or wherever your local, more popular, cheaper gyms are, you're going to find this just nonstop the whole time.
Dude, when I used to go to LVAC, and it was kind of a culture shock for me too, because I lived in Iowa the whole time, and I've been all over the world and into gyms, but not like years on end, right? So when I went to LVAC and belonged there, I was just like, what the fuck is going on here? You know, it was like, and this was in 2013 to like 16, 17. I love that gym. So don't get me wrong. The LVAC is great, but man, some of the shit I'd see. And now it's like, look, we all look in the mirror. I get it. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's just something that we do. But I see these guys that are like, and I'm not saying I'm not big by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm also not 5'4", 125 pounds sitting in the mirror flexing in front of people that are trying to get ready or like make a drink or something. And I'm just like,
about to make this point, bro.
Oh, like,
the teenagers that are like on the gym floor, they're just like taking their shirts off in front of you in a group too, just like flexing in the mirror. It kills me, man, because I'm like, they're not even here to work out. It's almost just like a social setting, going in the same outfit, all of them, just to flex in the mirror shirtless. And it's like, if that's how you want to spend your time, by all means. But it's just, I don't know. It makes me cringe, where now I strictly mainly go to private gyms just because there's going to be like IFBB pros, more like top level people there. It's usually more professional. It's not swamped with people wearing pajama pants. And it's just a little bit more of a conducive environment to like a growing stage and actually working out.
Well, and you know, I'm really good, and I'm sure you are too, about getting in the zone and focusing when you work out. But when I see dudes doing that, or I see these dudes, and I'll just leave it alone. You'll figure out where I'm going with this. I don't want to say something that's going to hurt anybody's feelings, but like doing their little fucking dances in front of the mirror, like these straight dances and shit. I'm just like, I'm trying to press like heavy presses here or do something serious, and I see this shit going on, and I'm not so sure you see it where you're at, but I got these people at the gym that are like cutting up dance moves and shit like over there, and little femmy, whatever, okay, do your thing, I don't care, it's none of my business, just don't do it around me, you know what I mean? It's very fucking distracting, and it's weird.
Right next to me.
Yes. And it's
now, the
just,
one that really bothers me the most, though, is when you get those groups, and it's always, I swear, like five of them, that they'll go like to the bench and they're all working out together, and then they're on the whatever the fuck it is, like the bench press or some type of machine you want, and they're there for over an hour, just like filming their TikToks, socializing, doing their sets, but they're not even training hard. They're just kind of like going through the motion, but socializing as they're doing it essentially for social media. It's not even like to work out. And that's the one that bothers me more than anything. It's like, you can wear what you want, do what you want, that's cool, but just don't like interfere with everybody else's workout around you just so you can like get this like social media rise or whatever you're trying to get out of it.
Yeah, and see, and that's it. You're right. I mean, you got to be able to handle distractions around you, but when you got these people taking up your time and your space, that's a different story. When I have,
yeah, I mean, especially because I mean, you know, too, as we get older, you know, like our time's important. It's crucial, you know, between your business, getting home, and then if you have a relationship, your food, getting adequate sleep, everything you have to do in your day to day, squeezing the gym in there, it's like you're kind of on a time crunch almost to get in there and like make the most of it, have an actual good workout. And then if you're just sitting behind 20 different groups of five TikTokers in each group, and they're just like sitting on every machine, I couldn't do it anymore, bro. That's why I couldn't do the commercial gyms. I'll still go from time to time if I have someone in town and whatnot for a guest pass. But I strictly mainly do like the private gym setting now.
I don't blame you at all. And it's like, so I'll have my wife do a couple clips so I can post them on my short so people can see proper lifting techniques or what I think is proper lifting techniques or whatever to use for a video, but she'll shoot it real quick and move. And I'm like, set's done, get my 30 seconds to a minute, pop back up and do it. And it's like, man, these guys don't really go there, like you said, to work out. They go there to post on their social media. And hey, do whatever you want. Just do it on your own time. Like, don't interfere. Go during the day when there's no one in the gym, you know, noon or something, or 1 o'clock. But these guys are doing it at 6 p.m. at the gym, you know, when it's full and it's you're trying to get in and out. And
yeah, peak time and everything.
They got nothing else to do with their life. And it's just like, bro. And I'll tell you this, this really, really, I was like, oh my gosh. And I was in such a hurry yesterday. I was in the locker room and I was in a hurry to get home to get my wife to go to a hockey game. And these kids, they had to have been 14, 15 years old. And they're sitting there in front of the mirror talking about Tren, like in front of me. And they didn't recognize me or know who I was. And I'm just sitting there going, oh. I wanted to say, do you guys know who I am? Like, and you're saying this in front of me, like, not that I'm something special, but this is like what I do. And you guys just sound so dumb. And do you run into like young kids? Because I get these kids that message me too. And I tell them all the same thing. Like, I am not even going there with you. I can't control you watching my videos, but I'm not helping you. You know what I mean? Like, do you get that a lot?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All the time. The teenagers that want to know like what cycle they should take. Should they? And that just the questions that, you know, too, just the first question they ask, you know, they're not ready for any type of cycle, mm-hmm. or that they haven't done any lick of research at all about anything. You know, they'll ask about like, is PCT needed for like a trenbolone cycle? And like, you know, or just the most basic, where if you just did literally a minute of research on Google, I'm sure you could probably find somewhat an answer you're looking for, but they're just going off of whatever their favorite influencer. They probably saw some influencer they were watching on TikTok say that this was their cycle or this is what they're taking. And then they just want to like immediately hop on that. They don't look into the actual research behind it. I believe we kind of briefly touched on this a little bit in the last podcast we did together, but just people, I don't know, they jump the gun way too quick. They want everything right now. And then I'll see the people too in the gyms that are flexing, like in the mirrors in the bathroom and everything, almost like body dysmorphia, not where but opposite body dysmorphia, right? Where they don't think they look bad. They actually think they look better than they do.
Right.
Flexing in the mirror. And of course, I'm never going to like check them or tell them like, hey, you're not what you think you are. But these dudes think they're like Chris Bumstead flexing in the mirror. But they're like, yeah, they're like 115 pounds. And I'm just like, stop, please.
I know. Can't. It's brutal. And I always say, to each your own. I'm not your dad. Do whatever you want to do. But in the same token, it's like, I could never imagine or dream. Like, let's say I'm starting out and I'm watching one of your videos. There is no way on the planet Earth I would write you. I would listen to you. And then I'd go, okay, I'm going to go like read up on all this. And like everything I do revolves me reading first. And this is not just because I'm older. This was like in my 20s, right? And you can tell immediately when somebody's too young and they do that. And it's like, how could you ever, like, I don't care how old you are, put stuff like this into your body without doing like, because I get these people that'll write me and go, I'm 6 weeks in on this and what should I do now? And I'm like, what do you mean? What should you do now? Like, I tell people you should stop and run PCT and then go learn what you're doing and then maybe think about it later. You know,
triple the dosage, keep going. Yeah. I should start just doing the opposite, just sending them into the who knows what realm.
Run it a year, motherfucker. Like, do whatever you want. I mean, I guess, and you know what really troubles me? And this is when I can't help but kind of I'm working really hard on not being a dick, like smart ass. But when somebody's like 40 or 50 and they're writing me with this, I wrote this one guy the other day and I said, you know what really bothers me more than anything is that you're 50 years old and you're this like reckless and careless and irresponsible. Like, and I wrote him, and this is like me being maybe too old for what I am, but I was like, what if I just asked yourself this question, what would you do if your son came to you with this shit? Like, what would you say? Or what would you think? And, you know, no response, right? Of course.
Right.
Like, I guess the message I'd like to give is, look, me and you and people like that, we're cool as shit. You can tell that. It's easy to see. But when we look out for people and then they get mad, it's like, dude, listen, do whatever the fuck you want. I'm going to wake up tomorrow, not worry about it one way or another, but I'm going to at least know that I told you what to do was right, you know?
Right.
We actually care.
That's what I always say, you know, like, your body, your choice, do what you want. You know, we're just going to give our it cut out.
Yeah,
basically, all right, so the point what that I'm making is basically they'll reach out and they ask a question, but they kind of already know what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So usually I'll try and steer people away from the first cycle, saying, you know, you're too young or you don't have enough knowledge on like the cycle you're taking yet. Maybe, you know, give it a little bit more time, get your training, diet, nutrition, everything down a little bit more. And they're like, yeah, I'm just going to start the cycle. It's like, then why even ask me? You know, it's like, you already knew what you were going to do. So why ask? Just because I'm not giving you the answer you want or like what you're expecting out of it. But I'm just telling you what I would do. Like that's just my personal appearance and, or, you know, opinion, trying to make sure that you're taking care of yourself.
Well, and that's just it. It's the guys that they ask you, but they only want you to tell them what they want to hear, you know, as opposed to what they need to hear. And that's what I always tell people that watch me. I say, look, just like anybody else, I'm not for everybody. Just understand, when you watch me, I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear. So if you're one of those people that need your little feelings coddled or you need to hear what you want, don't watch, because you're going to hate my guts. But if you want to do it right, you want to, you know, think long term, look out for your health, I'm your guy. You know what I mean? And look, just like you're not for everybody, I'm not for everybody. That's fine. But people, I think they should at least hear out like people that are experienced that have done this for a long time. You know, if you're going to really do this, I actually try to encourage people not to use anything.
Yeah. It's like, there's a reason we're saying what we say. It's because it's what we personally do, like based on our experience of what we've done, you know, through the years, where I want people to learn from my, you know, I've tried just about everything. I've had plenty of mistakes and, you know, I've learned a lot through, and if I can pass that knowledge on to someone so they avoid maybe even just a couple of the mistakes I did, then that's kind of the goal. But regardless, what I've realized at the end of the day, people are going to do what they want to do. But hopefully I can somehow make a little difference where people are maybe making somewhat of the right choice.
Yeah, no, 100%. And like I always say, if I have 100 people listening and I only help one, well, it was worth it, you know, that actually listened. I mean, at least somebody, I feel like, maybe prevented something from happening. So what, because last time we talked, you weren't really on anything or doing anything. Are you doing anything different now, or anything different with your training, or anything that you're taking right now?
It's probably pretty similar compared to the last time we talked. I tried Trimix for the first time, so I guess that'd be kind of the only new thing. And that was just to try, just kind of like see how it went, mainly because of my hardcore party nights. with you know, so, like a little too many nose beers, you know, I wanted to see how well it would work combating, you know, the absolute worst case scenario. And it worked phenomenal, but obviously. Oh, dang it. It's muted again. Sorry.
That's all right.
Where did it cut out at?
Oh, you were talking about the rough nights and how it was helping you. And then that kind of.
Oh, okay. It. Okay. Yeah. So basically, that's where I figured out it definitely works. So, but not something that would be long term, of course, just because like scar tissue buildup and all that.
Sure.
Aside from that, yeah, just TRT still, same dosage. Nothing else has been added in. Still the same vitamins, supplements, everything else that I was taking. So I mainly, like, same as the last podcast, I mainly just go for like more of a health approach now. Just did my blood work, so everything's looking good. Just kind of like staying in a healthy range, trying to take care of my body, just because I'm not going for competing all the time, trying to step on stage, at least I think, anytime soon. You know, just kind of wanting to work out for, I guess, health benefits, longevity.
I'll give you this, because I know I went through I'd say like a 10 to 12 year stage of partying to the point of it would blow your mind. I mean, the amount of drugs and alcohol and stuff. And I was always ultra skinny because of that. I couldn't hold. You hold size pretty damn well, and I know what you're doing. And it's amazing that you're able to hold that kind of size during that. So kudos to you, because most people cannot do that, because that shit will eat away your muscle, you know.
Oh, yeah, dude. Because I don't even eat sometimes. Like this last weekend.
I believe it.
So it was just like oh man, yeah, but that's the main reason I wanted to try, is because I mean, I'm sure a lot of people that have experienced it, you know, the good old blow erection, you know, that,
yes,
no matter what you do, it will not come to life.
No
with Trimix, no. It will, but not to promote it in any sense, but maybe to have on hand in case of, you know, dire need.
I've been there and I know the feeling, unfortunately, and it is brutal. And
it
I
is
hear
the worst
you.
Feeling, bro. I swear. Oh. And for anyone that's been through it, you know it's the worst feeling.
I always say, like, to me, of all the side effects, like, there is that, that's the worst. You know, anything that messes with your libido, to me personally, and everybody's different, but oh my gosh, because that'll mentally destroy you on top of.
I was actually talking to someone in the gym yesterday that was a fan, and he was talking about how he had to stop Deca because of. The libido drop. And then I'm the same way too, where Deca completely smashed my libido.
Yeah.
And same thing too, when I crashed my estrogen to like flatline, completely lost my libido. So that's just something I'll never mess with. Like no amount of gains or progress, even if I'm putting on like 20 pounds of lean mass or something, I'm not sacrificing my libido. Like there's no way.
No, I told my wife the last time, I was like, because it broke my heart that time. She's like, is it me? And I'm like, you don't get it. Like, I'm upset here. Like,
and they'll never understand. Like, even if you say it and you show them studies and other people that are experiencing the same thing, they're still always going to think it's them every time.
I know. She's like, please don't ever use that again. You know what it was? I ran DECA one time. It was 150 milligrams on my TRT, and it was great. I had no, none of that problem, no nothing. And I actually noticed shockingly stuff from it while I was doing it. Like I noticed strength and I noticed like really dry gains. Then I ran it with Tren once. I got greedy. And oh my gosh, dude, after like 2.5 weeks, that was like the worst experience ever. I mean, I had no interest for like 2 months, none. And no matter how
That's crazy.
That was the worst feeling I've ever fucking had. And I was like, I'll never run either one of these things again ever. And I haven't since, man. That was like 5-6 years ago probably, and I haven't touched them since.
I swear, like once you go from a high libido to absolutely having no drive, you just never want to go back there, no matter like how good the results or progress and everything. Oh dang it, and once again. But yeah, it'll just never be worth it, man, just because Yeah, no amount of progress. Like if you're losing it, like if your libido was all the way up here and then it goes down to here, it never going to be justifiable to me ever. But maybe
No.
it is for someone out there, you know, maybe if they prioritize, you know, their muscle mass and whatnot, and they don't care about it for some reason, which I don't know who would. like that's always going to be one of my highest ranking priority things, you know?
Oh yeah. Because for me, the ones that did it to me was just really, I'm trying to think. I think it was really only Tren and Deca that ever hurt me like that. And see, one time I ran Tren, initially it was like through the roof, like insane. You know what I mean? Like monstrous, really. But then it seemed like after that, the couple times I ran it, it really hurt me. But those were the only two I believe that really ever gave me an issue, because I'm really estrogen prone, so I don't believe I've really hurt my estrogen too much before. It's always kind of too high, even on low doses of tests. Like if I go over 200 tests, my estrogen's like 60, 70 with no AI. It's ridiculous.
Like
It's
670.
yeah, dude. Well, so when I lived in Vegas, I actually had gynecomastia surgery. It was just from birth, you know, it was not from steroid use.
That's how mine is too.
Is it?
Yeah, before I ever touched a cycle. Yeah, just from
Yeah.
puberty, like lasted over from puberty.
I had it done in
It's not like a severe case, but I was thinking about maybe removing it, maybe at some point. I don't know.
I went to doctor, I think his name was Cambiero in Henderson over there in Vegas, and I believe it was 3,500 or 4,500, and it was like 45 minutes. I was awake the whole time. And I was talking to them while they were doing it. I was not supposed to lift for a month, and I started doing cardio after about 3 weeks. And then I did wait the full month to lift, but it wasn't that bad, bro. And it didn't hurt. I didn't have really soreness but a couple days. And literally, you're awake the whole time. It's easy as shit. And I got no scars anywhere.
And it lasted over, yeah. Like no, it didn't
Yeah.
like rebound or no, nothing.
You got to have them cut the
Nice.
gland,
Yeah,
you know.
right.
Yeah,
Nice,
it
man.
super easy. I was so happy I did it. I can't I want to say it was $4,500, but he was the best plastic surgeon rated in the whole state. And literally, I was on my motorcycle. I drove to Henderson, and I wasn't supposed to do that. And I rode the bike back all the way to you know where the Santa Fe Casino is over there, like way north. That's where I lived. So I did that, and I was like, "Fuck it, man, whatever." And then I just went home and crashed, dude. But literally, if you ever do it, tell me and I'll tell you where to go over there. It was easy.
Definitely. Yeah, but mine was, yeah, same thing before like I'd ever dabbled into any cycles or anything just from puberty. And I think that that's a big misconception too. A lot of people think that it's solely from gear use. I see that
No.
a lot of the time too on a lot of like there'll be some fitness guy that posted a video and he's getting a bunch of hate for his gyno or something like. Nice job with all the cycles, but you know, there's a chance the dude like could be natural potentially, and it lasted over from you know like puberty, or he's just had it. Because I remember too when I was super insecure about it, I did like some research. I think it was, I'm probably gonna be wrong on it, but I think it was like 1 in 4 males have it from just like puberty alone.
Yeah, I actually see quite a few people with it. My dad had it, my grandpa had it, like it was on that side of the
Right.
family. And it just, you know, when I got super lean and stuff, like as I got older, you could see it, but you didn't, like when you're cut up and stuff, it's harder to see it, and sometimes it's not as severe. But I've seen some people that have it. I see a lot of like if we're just talking ethnicities, a lot of Indian guys have it that I've noticed. You know, and I don't know why. I've never really looked into that, but it seems like they kind of carry that gene a little bit. But there's no way to really know. I mean, you're just kind of born with it. But you're right. A lot of people get hated on it. It's like, bro, a lot of these people are fucking born with it, never touched a steroid in their life.
Yeah, and then they're getting like ripped apart, like you know,
Yeah.
not steroid cycle. See what it did to you, bro. And I'm like, damn, there's a chance this dude could be natural. He just had it because, like, I that's how I was, you
Yeah.
know.
But tell me though, what's actually crushed your libido? Is it just Tren and Deca, or just Deca, or what?
I think the worst was when I was competing last in like 2019. Yeah, I crashed my estrogen to like flatline with letrozole and I think raloxifene too. I was just trying to crash my estrogen so I could just be as dry as like possible and whatnot, like an idiot. And then, yeah, just libido was crushed for probably a couple weeks, maybe not as long as yours was when with the trend and the Deca, but it definitely took a little while to bounce back. And then same thing, my girlfriend at that time was like, "Is it me? What did I do? Or, you know, blah 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 blah." And it's just trying to explain that no, it's just like. the contest prep, plus the lack of calories, you know, being in a caloric deficit, along with also, of course, then the crash of estrogen. It was just a recipe for disaster where it's just not something I really strive for anymore.
Yeah, it's shit. It just even talking about that brings me to like a dark memory, bro. Like,
right? It just starts to like relive it all in your head. You're like, yeah, this is exactly why I don't do that anymore.
No. You know what else I want to about your experiences with like oral steroids. So I've always, for me personally, this is just me. My body, for some reason, will respond so damn fast and so damn well to oral steroids. But and I'm going to be 42 this week. So as I've gotten older, especially, it's like even Anavar, which even though I know everybody calls it mild, it still can fuck you up. You know what I mean? It does. I don't know. The last time I ran it was the last oral I'm ever going to run. Like, I'm just done. And what people don't understand is that your blood work might bounce you back, but it beats you up so bad internally over time. The side effects only get worse as you get older. It certainly don't get better. And you can only run oral so long. What do you think about that? And I mean, is that something you kind of have done or, you know, have steered clear of, or what's your thinking or thought on that?
So what I noticed, at least for me, through all the things I've tried, orals usually always worked a little bit better for me. Whether that actually my best look ever, more than any but the best cycle I ran was just a test base with SARMs only, actually, and this was like the last competition I did, and it was my best look. It was YK11 LGD and RAD with nice. The test base, and that was my best look. So what I've noticed over time is my body does respond really well to orals more than a lot of injectables. And then also DHTs, my body, for some reason, like my best looks is always with like a DHT, like Anavar, Winstrol short term, Masteron. But even with Masteron, I didn't really see a lot. And that was because it was like injectable. For some reason with orals, I don't know why, but it always gave me my best look. And also the fastest as well, where, sometimes, of course, like, a lot of people want these instant results and they start taking, testosterone cypionate or, some longer ester, and they want these results right away. And I'm like, you're not even probably going to start seeing results, even start to accumulate for at least like weeks, after you start taking it. And then, in the initial stage, it's probably going to be placebo, just knowing that you're on like your first cycle and you're starting to blow up. But with orals, whether it's, Osterine, LGD, it's like you start to feel that stuff, the next day, the day of, especially with Cardarine too. When I was experimenting with Cardarine, it was like my cardio just like went through the roof, like the day of or day after when I started taking it.
Bro, the first time I ever ran Cardarine was I'm talking right when it came out. And I believe that I'm bad with my years, but I'm pretty sure it was 2013. And we've talked about this. I'm a 10-mile-a-day runner. So I know. If anything's hurting me or helping me, I know right away because I'm consistent. My times are always the same. I have my good days and bad days with like leg soreness or something, but I know, right? And I'm telling you, bro, at that time I was doing like 5-6 miles a day and, at the time, and I was doing them really fast. Now I'm like, slower pace, longer distances. I had never ran straight 10 miles before ever. And this was the first day after I ran it, and I went 10 miles and I was like Forrest fucking Gump. I didn't really need to stop at all, like, period. But
keep it going. Yeah.
Well, you know what's going to blow your mind here? Over time, after I used it, I didn't find it to be as effective. In fact, sometimes I find it would make me a little bit more tired. But, and this is where I'm going to go with SARMs as we get into SARMs here, because I want to talk to you about some new experiences I've had. SR9009 is my new favorite for endurance now over GW. And I don't know if you've ran it or not yet, but oh man.
It's been a while. I did run it. I think the last time I touched SR9009 was probably like 2019, in that time frame.
I like it better. I have a cholesterol thing, genetic thing, so I like Cardarine's benefit, but SR9009, I can tell the significant difference right now. I mean, I just want to finish because I want to get into SARMs, but I wanted to touch on what you said about the DHTs, and I agree. You know what? I don't find Masteron's more suitable to like my kind of look, but I've never really fucking liked it that much. Even super lean, and I know you need to be super lean to really get the most from it. But Prima,
Same thing for me. I don't know if it was because it was like injectable, or it could have just maybe been I never ran the dosage super high with Masteron. I always kept it like pretty low. I think like 100 milligrams a week.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just kind of like a little icing on the cake, I guess, type of thing when I was competing.
Yeah.
So I didn't run it crazy high to maybe get the full desired effect out of it. But yeah, with Anavar, Winstraw, I mean, those things you notice so fast, and then you get like so dry so quick. So that was the big difference between it.
Well, I always, with Masteron, I generally tell people 400 to 600 is 500 is your sweet spot. And I've ran at 600. I mean, Prima Bolin's always been my favorite. I've never made a mystery about that. But to be honest with you, I feel like Anavar's done the most for me and, you know, has been the mildest. But the last couple times, especially, I get like 5 weeks into an oral. And when I don't want to like do anything, because I look forward to cardio. I know that sounds crazy, but I do. Even today, when I told you I was sick, I still went down there and ripped it up like before a podcast. Whole thing. And I woke up like with terrible sore throat this morning and everything, and just still. But man, I just hate that, like that lethargy that you get. And it's just, I don't care. You can take all the protection in the world, because I do. It still hurts your liver, even Anavar, and it just, it's not good over time, dude. You know, it's just not. And that's why when you were talking about SARM, so I wanted to talk to you and ask you and then tell you about something that I've experienced now. Because when we talked last, I was still kind of like light, and not that I'm not big by any means, but I'm about 8-9 pounds heavier. I'm a little flat today from like being sick, but I'm running S23, which I'd never ran, AC262, which I've never ran, and that was on Tony's recommendation. And then S4 is one of my favorites, and SR 9009, and I'm up like 7-8 pounds from that, and my strength has gone. I mean, I was pressing 100-pound dumbbells. I hurt myself a little bit, but for me, that's pretty heavy, you know, for my size. And I mean, it's through the roof. This is by far my best. My first original best SARM cycle was just S4 and MK2866, the first time I ever ran one. But this is definitely. So have you ran these, or what's your favorite, or what's your best experience?
So I've run all those that you said, except for I haven't tried AC262.
Oh, man.
So I've only had, I've only seen kind of like the research, other people that have tried it, that type of information. And that's why I haven't made a lot of videos on it, other than just kind of like informational, what I've heard. But I think I started those videos just saying, like, I usually like to talk about things that I've tried firsthand and have done research on, just so people get like a better understanding of what it is. S23, I did try, and that was super strong. That was, towards around the time when I competed last, so like 2019. It's crazy how fast time's been going by like that. I haven't even touched anything for a while, which is another thing too, bro. I also get so many DMs of people being like, bro, how are you not bigger with all the shit you're taking? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I realize I haven't like touched anything other than like my low my TRT dosage of 200 a week puts me in a pretty normal range, maybe a little bit above average, but yeah, I haven't done anything since 2019. Like that's a pretty long time.
It is a long time.
So I tried S23, super strong. I don't think I was doing blood work at that time, or maybe I had just after, and it definitely crashed the fuck out of my levels for sure.
Your test levels?
Yeah, my test levels. S4, I messed with briefly until I got the yellow tint vision side effect. And then I was like, for something about like, even though it goes away, something with the eyes, I just wasn't a fan of it. So I was like, I'm just going to steer clear of the S4. So I only tried that, I think like once or twice for very short term until I got that side effect, then discontinued it. I haven't tried AC262. What was the other one you brought? SR9009.
SR9009.
Yeah. And then, last time I tried that one. And that was great too. I have seen some things which I haven't looked into recently, but the bioavailability of SR9009, is it high or is it not?
So here's my argument back against that. And I think it's fairly, I think it's about as good of an argument as you can make. If that was the case, and I've seen it presented quite often, but without any proof, if that was the case, then why do people get such good results, and why has it been a top seller since 2015? That's my argument back against it. If it wasn't working and it wasn't bioavailable, nobody would buy it and nobody would get results. I mean, I'm doing it firsthand right now, and it's fucking clear in day the results I'm getting from it. I mean, yeah. I know.
No, I mean, it worked. It worked for me too. Like, yeah, and that's why I was curious. I was like, I'm pretty sure it does. It is definitely bioavailable because I was feeling it for sure when I was competing.
I mean, all I could tell people that have that worry is, you know, try it and see. And if you don't like it, then that, you know, SR 9011 is supposed to be more bioavailable and it's a little bit longer half-life. But like I said, I mean, if it didn't work, nobody would buy. I mean, it's a top selling product for the past 7-8 years now. I think it was 2015, 2016 when it came out, and it's like nobody would buy it. So that's my kickback on it. I mean, other than that, I've never seen anybody prove, other than somebody say, that it was not bioavailable. And I've done a couple shorts on it too about that being bullshit, you know. So
that's the other thing too. I remember people used to always bring up the Carterine like cancer study and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I'm like, dude, that's such an outdated study where they were running such a stupid high dosage. Like, no one would ever be taking that level of a dosage compared into like a human body as what they were giving those rats and whatnot in that old ass study. It's just like anything can, you know, do that if you're giving it like super crazy high dosage of anything, even probably like vitamin C. I bet if I give you some crazy high dosage day after day, you're probably going to develop cancer of some sort.
Well, and you know what? Everybody's I'm going to compare this for something to you. So I'll see these posts on Facebook once in a while, and I can't even read them anymore because of the ignorance. Because I was really advanced in math, and they'll put these algebra questions up there, and people will want to fight over the answer to them. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. Same thing here. It's like people have their own math that they convert that study on. And I'm like, you can take your fucking math and all your numbers and really shove them up your ass, because we're talking about rats here. We're not talking about humans. And I don't know. I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to jinx or curse anything, but I've never once read anybody posting or saying that they had this issue using it. Now, it's possible. I'm not going to say that, but I've never seen it. I mean, I've never seen it.
And this goes back to the point where we said, like, people hear one thing or one influencer say something and they take that as the gospel of that. That's how it is. And then they, of course, portray that then into like a comment section or something. And it's just like, just do some research and you'll see that like most of the things that a lot of people are saying aren't going to be true. Or like, just look at the actual studies behind it. You'll find out that a lot of these rumors aren't true about certain compounds and whatnot. Or, you know, people just, I don't know. They need to take more time out of their day to actually do the research.
I know. And then if you go teach people and tell them, it's like, well, you sell SARMs. I'm like, actually, no, I don't. I've repped for a million SARMs companies, and I've come out and said that a million times. But people will throw this at me in the past. They don't really do it anymore. Well, he sells SARMs. Well, no, motherfucker, I don't. I never have. You know what I mean?
Right.
Any other good affiliate, they're going to fucking market what they're affiliating. You know, I mean. That's kind of the job, and that's what a million people do. So, you know, and for me, it's like, well, it's good content because I know so much about it. And of course I'm going to throw in, hey, this is where I use mine. Why wouldn't I, you know? And you can't ever win with people.
Yeah. And that steers to like a reputable, like what you personally use. And I think that's like ultimately what people should strive for, you know, when I reach out to someone, I want to know, like, or at least hope they're guiding me to the source of the things that they're using, you know, and that would be reliable and resourceful, especially if it's someone that's supposed to be an informational type of podcast or YouTube channel.
So here, I'm going to talk to you about this, and I wasn't planning on talking to you about this, but now we got on the topic. So obviously there's, and I used to be this dick that would be like, oh, just go here, just go here. Well, look, nobody's stupid. There's a bunch of places that have good quality, and there's a bunch of places that don't. Just like any other thing you buy at GNC, there's good companies, bad companies. Here's my problem that I have, and I've done so much time and research on this. If you go type in, for instance, SARMs reviews or SARMs for sale, these are keywords, right, where you look up that newbies are looking. This thing, it's, and I'm going to pull one up, right? It just, if you type in SARMs for sale, it is like overflowed with these people that have all of these fake review sites. So what they do is they go to like NDTV or Outlook India, or you can go get on and put these articles in publications. It's very easy to do. It's like $500-$600 an article, Men's Journal, Men's Health. Like, you can literally get these SARMs articles. Fuck, I saw it in the Daily Iowan. That's a newspaper here. And all you do is go pay. You write. They write the same shit and regurgitate it. And they pay so much for their SEO that these are populated at the top. And it's, I'm not going to name the names of the companies because anybody can go look and see it's all the same and they have all the money. I'm not saying they're good or bad. I'm saying that they make fake review sites. So that's got to tell you something.
Put them on blast.
Yeah. You'll see right away under like SARMs reviews or SARMs for sale, the NDTV, Outlook India, Only My Health. Like they're all just right there. And I've covered this a million times, but the top two that pop up there, they're always the culprits. And then Crazy Bulk, which really pisses me off because those are so far from SARMs. Like,
I know what's funny though. I hate this brand for doing this. So they literally took my like part of my brand's name and they did that where they do and I don't even want to give them the publicity, but they made the name very similar to my Half Wicked name.
I know.
Think they did that because then a lot of people would maybe think, because I have had people message me like, hey, this is your brand, right? Blah, blah, blah. I never received my order. I'm like, nah, they made their name fucking like dead ass similar to mine.
I know who you're talking about. And I also have heard about that said person and I've never heard, I don't know him. I don't know this. I've just not heard good things, but I know exactly who you're talking about because I know so many company owners and I've heard.
Yeah. I see some of the ones up here. Yeah.
They're everywhere and it's gotten completely out of hand and they like, so one of my really close friends is a SEO like guru, 30 years doing it. And he was showing me like some of these companies, they're the same company and he found it in their SEO, how they're doing it. And there's a couple big name players that are actually the same exact company.
Okay.
Talk to you about that off pod.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just too funny, man. Fuck. And then I also love the people that go and they'll type into Google like buy steroids.
Oh.
And they think that they're going to get an actual cycle. And I have people that will DM me that type of stuff too. And I'm like, you realize like that's a controlled substance, right? Like,
my God.
They're not just going to be selling that on Google.
Yeah. Buy steroids online. There you go. It's like me going and typing buy cocaine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there, it's like, all.
Oh yeah, it's definitely quality. Yeah, yeah, for sure. I'm definitely getting what I'm paying for here. Yeah,
let me
buy some real quick.
I'm telling you though, like it really bugs the shit out of me. A place like Crazy Bulk that spends all this money, and I've called them out so many times, and I got no problem saying their fucking name because they go on here and go, "Oh, our Ostabolic is anabolic, or their Osterin does this, or their GW product," and it's like, dude. You go look at the ingredients, there's whey protein, there's BCAA, there's nothing in here that does anything of what you're saying. It's such nonsense.
Oh, interesting. Yes. Yeah. That's the type of shit I hate.
Oh, bro. You go sometime when you're got some free time, go look up on the Crazy Bulk SARM site and read how they market and then read the ingredients on there. It'll blow your mind how fucked up, dude.
I mean, that's a good way for the people that are watching to know, like, if you're going to buy something, look at the ingredient label, like especially like the reference I just said and Dylan's talking about too. Like if you go buy steroids or something, you see an Anavar bottle, just look at the ingredient label. It's not going to be the chemical structure name of Anavar. It's going to be some long list of like these random, probably like tribulus herbs and whatnot, like testosterone booster type stuff. If you like the ingredient label should be so basic if you're ordering something crazy.
Bro, here, I want to tell you this right now. Huge difference in my total testosterone. Lifts testosterone naturally, improved gains, reveals natural physique, heightens energy. This is their LGD product. Skyrockets energy, increases pumps, combats fatigue. And then listen to the ingredients. Vitamin D3, Vitacholine, literally methyl methane, MSM, beetroot, caffeine anhydrous, and Sisandra Kinesis. That's it.
So is that an LGD in it?
No. These are natural products. That's all they are.
Oh my.
here's the best one though, and I won't keep going. I'll let you do this. But this is their Ibuta 677. Naturally increases HGH. So just listen to me on this.
Oh no.
Boosts vascularity, promotes muscle fullness. Okay. Supports fast recovery, balances mood. Here, listen to these whopping products. Zinc, vitamin B5, L-arginine, glycine, L-glutamine, L-lysine, L-tyrosine, L-ornithine. So it's just EAAs and vitamins. Okay?
I hate companies that do that shit, bro. Like, here, let me see. I have LGD right over here. Let me check. Just for reference on this video. All right, my ingredient label, LGD 4033. Pretty basic. Oh, if you see a bunch of vitamins, EAAs, BCAAs, whatever it is, you guys are getting ripped off.
Well, they also, this is the same fucking company that has their, here, DBAL, like D-B-A-L. Tesco
oh,
Max.
No, you know, they make the name similar too.
Yeah. I am so serious. And like, if you saw what was actually in these, you would get so fucking mad. Like, oh my gosh.
Let me guess, they charge like fucking just how much Anavar and stuff would be too, huh?
Oh, it's insane.
Pharmaceutical level, just charging some insane prices for it.
It's absolutely insane what they charge, dude. I mean, it's ridiculous. And they spend so much money on marketing. Here. D-ball, and they call it Diana ball. No shit. Massive muscle, serious strength, rapid recovery.
Dude, I feel like that literally has to be a scam because they know they're marketing to a younger demographic, right? And these kids are buying this thinking they're getting something crazy, maybe like taking their parents' credit card or whatever it is, or maybe it's an older person who just isn't fully aware. And they're literally preying on these people that they're under the conception that they're getting this crazy cycle or GH or whatever it is, and they're getting a vitamin complex.
Bro, listen to what's in their D-ball. Vitamin D3, magnesium, isoleucine, MSM, ashwagandha, tribulus. It's tribulus.
Yeah, see, that's what I said. Like, well, testosterone boosting herbs.
Yeah, and there's not even that much tribulus in there, 75 milligrams. And then hyaluronic acid. That's their D-ball product that's supposed to increase your muscle mass.
Oh yeah, that's D-ball right there. Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, that's exactly how they make it. Those ingredients all combined. Yep.
Yeah. Bro, like I get so angry like with this shit. I mean, it is really bad. So, people watching, don't listen to any of those SARMS review sites. They're all fake. You can scroll down to if you actually scroll and read the bottom fine print, it clearly states on there these are paid advertisements. Like, it's real fine print. But it it's very easy to see it's the same company spending all the money. And
like look at the ingredient labels for sure. Check for third party lab testing. That's always, you know, like a big thing too. You'll see what's actually in it. Obviously, if it's a vitamin complex and whatnot, you're not getting an anabolic.
No. I mean, it's ridiculous. That is so dumb. I mean, I go to Fresh Time over here and get all my nutrient supplements that I buy, and that's the same shit. I mean, so don't.
Oh, yeah.
Don't be fucking fooled. Okay, so there, that brings me to that. Do you take any, like, do you have a, like, staple supplement that you take continuously? Or what do you normally, because, you know, there's some good ones and some bad ones. There's some I take I like. I mean, what do you normally take?
This is a big point I always make whenever I do a supplement video, is a supplement's called a supplement for a reason.
Right.
It's a supplement to an already existing diet. But, creatine monohydrate, just because it's been proven through so many studies over so many years to have so many benefits that creatine monohydrate is a staple. I just do my daily vitamin. I have a very basic routine, fish oil, but that's just because I don't have enough like fish intake. I'm trying to think what else is in there. And then I was doing baby aspirin for a bit just to kind of thin the blood out a little bit. Mm-hmm. But that's essentially it.
I do that. I do 83 milligrams with the baby aspirin. I have to, because I found out there was some shit with my heart and a little bit of blockage there that was hereditary,
mm-hmm.
which is like really crazy at the time. It's like perfect diet, perfect workout. Don't even eat cheat meals. Like, and you know, I had to start a statin and like, oh, it's just craziness, man. It's thankfully I found it early enough. Right. But
right.
I take a lot of shit because I kind of, you know, I'm kind of going overboard to protect myself, you know.
Yeah, like, yeah. That's good, so, though. Yeah, precautionary.
Oh, my gosh. I have lines of shit that I take every day, bro. I mean, it's not stuff I would have, you know, always taken before. I started to take trace minerals because I was lacking certain vitamins and stuff, and that helped me a lot. Like, my TSH level got high out of nowhere. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on with my thyroid? And it dropped, like, cut in half, just taking like selenium and iodine, you know, shit like that. My point is like, this stuff is necessary if you're not getting it in your diet, and you could be lacking. And if you don't do blood work, you don't
for
know.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. And that's the problem. A lot of people don't do the blood work, or most don't. So you're never going to know.
I mean, I'm going every like 2.5-3 months, like now at this point. But I mean, you're not that old yet, but you're getting closer, you know, I mean, so I would recommend people, you know, do things. One of the things I've been talking about, because I'm so well versed on it now, is cholesterol. And it's not your LDL, HDL, or your triglycerides. That shit is like nonsense. There's the tests you need are more evasive. LP little a and ApoB, like for people watching, those are the key markers on your cholesterol. So when you go get blood work, then you have to get a comprehensive, you still want to know your LDL and your HDL, but they are nowhere near the major. There's just stuff that you need to learn, I guess, is what I'm saying. And you got to take it into your own hands, because doctors ain't going to do it for you. You know, nobody's babysitting. You got to go do that shit yourself. So I would just recommend that to people.
Yep, definitely blood work, crucial for anyone before you start cycle, during cycle, after cycle. Even if you don't ever plan on doing a cycle, just do it, know how you're doing.
So let's talk about the Half Wicked Labs, because we were going to talk about it last time and we didn't, because we got so involved in everything else. And I told you I kind of wanted to talk about it. You know, when did you come up with that, and why, and what does it, you know, contain on the site, in case people don't know?
All right, so... like you, I was affiliated with a lot of brands. Enhanced Athlete was the first company that like I was kind of repping when I was first doing my YouTube, making my first initial like SARM videos back then. Then they closed down. I was affiliating with a couple other companies. And then just the business mind in me too. And then also wanting to provide just like a quality that I would use myself, even though I'm not using it, of course, for years. But just quality that I would trust and use, providing that to my audience. So I just wanted to like make sure that everything is what it says it is. It's not the vitamin complexes posing to be D-ball and all this stuff. So there's like the third party lab testing and everything, just to make sure what you're getting is what you're taking. And so yeah, just kind of like making sure everyone has a reliable place. And yeah, it's going to be most of the traditional SARMs. So like 677, Osterine, Cardrine, of course, not for human consumption.
Right, of course.
All for laboratory use only for lab rats. But yeah, all the goodies there. Of course, then there's also like the generic pre-workouts, like all in one. I'm trying to think what else is on there. Delta 9.
Nice.
Then we'll have like BPC 157 and TB 500 soon.
Are those going to be like capital?
In a couple of weeks, yes.
Nice.
Yep. And they'll be the bioavailable version.
Right. There's some out there that people put in capsules that don't do shit.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
I am more a fan, though, personally, of it's just hard with like the business side of it and credit card processing and whatnot to get, of course, injectable.
Yeah.
But I am more a fan personally for myself doing site location for injuries and whatnot, just because that was the reason I was taking BPC 157 and TB 500 back in the day, was for injuries. So site injection, but yeah, the oral will be available.
That's nice, man. Do you have trouble with processing, because that can be terribly difficult with
definitely product. It's been a fucking nightmare. for sure, nightmare. But I think most companies that are like in similar niche as me, even other ones too, that are like any type of cannabis related products and whatnot like that, I know they have a really hard time too, just as a high risk merchant, for the people that are watching, is what's called. But it's a little bit of a struggle. You got to pay a little bit of a higher interest rate or percentage.
Yeah. If you're even able to get one.
Yeah. Able to find one. Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people use like Max Redemption. I'm sure you've heard of that. A lot
That's
of people
who is on my site now. Yeah.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's perfectly safe, but people get freaked out about like, you have to prove your identity once to like get with them. I mean, you know, and then I think a lot of people will use like eChecks and Zelle and Bitcoin and shit like that. Just so people understand, you can't just go to fucking random processors and say, hey, I'm selling SARMs or peptides, and they give you processing. That's not how it works.
Right.
there's workarounds that'll last for a little bit, but they're always going to get, because what happens is people charge back, and that, I'm sure you deal with that.
Yep.
Right?
Oh, chargebacks are a nightmare. Yeah.
Yeah. And just so you know, you people that charge back, you're really fucking slime balls, like in every way possible. So people that are watching,
I get the one if maybe there was an error or something, but no, that never happens. It's always the chargebacks of the person that got their product and then they just want it for free.
Yeah.
So then they do the chargeback.
They do the chargeback and say that they never received the product or it wasn't what it was said. And then they'll snitch you off and they could really fuck you if you even fight it. So you're kind of at their mercy, and like a lot of times they won't win, you know? So just if you think you're going to do that, you're not always going to win. And karma does come
back.
Actually,
to be honest, I think most of the times I've actually won the chargeback disputes, just because I always have every form of articles and all the paper trail of it being delivered and everything to their door. So I think actually probably like 80% of them I usually win.
Yeah. And all you're doing is making yourself look even dumber than you already are for doing it, just so you know. You know, because only scumbags do shit like that. If you pay for something and you get it, you know, don't do that. It's just super shade, man. It really is.
Yeah.
So I hope everybody gets what they deserve that actually has that in mind. So what do you got planned coming up? I mean, anytime soon?
I mean, I know the Arnold. I think that is... I know it's usually in March. Let's see.
Yeah, I think that's soon.
I know it's in March usually, which I believe will probably be around that time frame again.
I think it's end of March, if I can't remember off the top of my head.
Probably is like the end of March. I don't know why there's not a date on here right now.
I've never been to the Arnold once.
But the Arnold's a good one. It's just long. It's 3 days instead of where Olympia and whatnot is 2 days. And LA
that's
Fit
coming
Expo's
up, brother.
2 days.
That's
so it's
February.
A big one. Oh, that's March 3rd. Oh, wait, that's really coming up. Oh, see, I haven't even booked anything for it yet, so... We'll see. That one, I didn't go last year. I think they had it back last year. So we'll see. It would be fun to go out just because it is some good content out there for days on end. I'm sure probably Michael Hearn would probably be out there too.
Have you been there before then to Ohio?
Yeah. I've been to the Arnold. It's just been years since I've been to it.
I've been to almost, I think I've been to like 30 some states and I've never been to Ohio before. So I'm going to have to go to that sometime if you go.
It's a good expo. It's just, it is, I don't know. Columbus, Ohio is just, there's not a lot to really do out. You know, it's not like a Olympia when you're in Vegas or, you know, LA or some of these other places. It's just like kind of cold around this time of year anyway. So it's just cold out. They don't have a ton of gyms out there, but it's still a good time, you know, for the people that want to go out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Dude, I love expos, man. Like, I just love expos. I don't even really, honestly, I don't even really get into the body, but I just care about the expos. Those are the most fun, man. I've always been that way.
Yeah.
I love those. I because when I lived in Vegas, too, I went to the Olympia every year, man. It's fucking awesome. What did you think about it this year in Orlando as opposed to Vegas? Because you've been to it plenty of times.
So initially I thought that they moved it out to Florida just due to like trying to save money, kind of like a business decision.
Yeah.
But then I found out it's because the F1 race was out here in Vegas. So that was the reason they had to move it out to Florida, this recent one. But now I heard it's going to be coming back to Vegas this year.
Yep.
So, but it's just better in Vegas. There's more to do out here. It's better production. It's just so much better in every way. And it's where I live too, so I don't have to travel out all the way out to Florida for it. So
that fucking convention center in Orlando, what a mess. Like how big that thing was and like parking and oh my gosh, dude.
Yep.
I got so irritated that first day we went. I was just like, oh my gosh, we had to shuttle and do all of this. The second day I got smart and I created a spot and found one and we were really close, but it was not easy, man. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And I remember too, I tried to go to the BKFC fight either the first night or the second night. And that was a nightmare in that convention too. You missed like majority of the fights and whatnot. Like people that had tickets, guest lists and everything, just like waiting in this line because they just weren't organized with it. But I don't think it was the BKFC's fault. I think it was just that convention was so interesting, like in the way it's structured and whatnot. And then everything. I don't know. I just felt like Olympia and all those events were kind of thrown together just rather quick. It wasn't as structured as it normally is when it's in Vegas.
I agree. Okay, I want to ask you something totally different, not fitness related. This is myself being curious and you living there. What's some of your favorite clubs that you go to in Vegas? And you know, because I mean, they're going to be different than when I lived there and when I used to go party there. I'm just curious as to what some of your favorites are.
I mean, there's definitely some new ones that have opened. I mean, first, I mean, I don't even really go to the clubs anymore. I don't like clubs anymore. In my early 20s, for sure, I was going to the clubs all the time. I was partying all the time. I mean, I still party, but just different kind of party now.
Right.
XS is always a popular one. I was always more a fan of the day clubs, though. Kind of like going to a pool and partying. So the day clubs. Liv, I think, just opened here. I haven't been to it, but I think that'll probably be a pretty popular one. XS will always be popular. Mm-hmm. Omnia is a good one. I mean, there's so many options for parties out here. That's the thing for people that have never been to Vegas. If you come out here, oh my God, you could be partying around the clock if you really wanted to.
And
you'll never touch every single location because there's just so many.
No. Do you have a favorite hotel or casino that you like to go to there at all?
That's close by my house, Red Rock.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, there's a lot of influencers actually promoting it now. Like Steve Will Do It, Nelk and them, of course, Dana White, a lot of them. I'm pretty sure. Red Rock does a really good job. They have a lot of really high quality stuff. They have my favorite pool in Vegas, too. A lot of awesome food. Just a ton to do out there.
And Red Rock is way, way, way off the strip, obviously. It's nowhere near.
Yeah, and then you're not like getting of course you're going to get like tourists and people that are staying at the Red Rock, but you're not getting like the crazy mayhem of the strip.
I used to take my motorcycle and drive like through the Red Rock over there. And that 4th of July at Red Rock, the fireworks show was so sick that year we went. I'll never forget that show. It was so badass.
Yeah.
So when I lived there, that Red Rock area, it was still kind of like newer and being developed, like a lot of the malls and stuff. Like I'd shop over there. Shit, I bought my wife's wedding ring over in that. I can't even think of the name of the shops over there, but I used to get a lot of shoes at the Foot Locker over there, but it was all being brand new. Yeah, like that Shake Shack over there was brand new. It was just opening. Like all of that shit was new. That's a really nice area of Vegas and really beautiful scenery.
Yeah, it's like pretty established now, and it's expanding out even further too. So we'll see. I mean, Vegas in 10 years, I don't know. We'll see. It'll be a big, big, big city.
You know, one of the things that I loved about Vegas though was the ease of like getting around there. Even though it's really busy at the Strip, when you live there outside of it, it's not as busy as you would think. You know what I mean? I mean, like population wise. Now when you get in the Strip, it's a fucking disaster, but. At least when I lived there, it might be worse now, but man, when I lived there, I liked the ease of travel and the flow of traffic's like 90, 95 miles an hour in that area. So it's sweet, you know?
Yeah, it's nice. It's kind of like you get the benefits of LA, I guess, without all the negative drawbacks of like California, LA, you know, there's rarely ever traffic unless, you're on the Strip or something like that. The prices are better out here.
Yes.
There's good food out here. There's a bunch of to do out here, of course. So
there's a good place to be.
As long as you can tolerate the summer heat, then you're good.
Yeah, it's brutal. Some of those summers. That first summer I was there, I remember one day it was like 138, something like that. And I mean, as soon as you got out of the car, it was like, fuck, dude. Brutal. But there's good malls, good shopping. Fashion show mall's great, but there's outlet malls that are really good. And then if you really want to spend some money, the Forum Shops, bro. I've spent some serious money in the Forum Shops at Caesars.
I bet.
But like between all the food and everything, I mean, just kind of to educate people, like there's more to Vegas than just the Strip.
For sure. A lot of people do just associate it with, like the partying and the Strip. They don't realize that there's residential.
Their
own like town essentially, you know, like outside the Strip. Like Summerlin's kind of its own area. Henderson is its own area.
Yep.
You know, they're all their own little kind of like community town, almost city.
Absolutely. And Summerlin's really Henderson's nice. Summerlin's really nice. I mean, those are more upscale places to live that are, you know, expensive. And I mean, we lived in nice family neighborhoods and shit when I moved there. And
right.
It's nice because everybody's got I had a pool. It's just like normal. It's not a big deal. It's not like you're rich because you have a pool. You know, I mean, so yeah, I mean, have you, how many years have you lived there again? I can't remember what you told me.
3 years.
Okay.
Yeah, 3 years now.
Are you gonna, yeah. Are you gonna like stay
there?
I mean,
I'm gonna stay for now just because, I mean, business wise, it's just really good out here. There's always things going on, there's always expos, always events, good food, of course, and whatnot. I won't retire here, but at least with work and business and everything I'm doing now, yeah, I'll probably stay for a while.
It's you know what people think, oh, you go there, you spend so much money. It's actually quite easy to get ahead there when you live there as opposed to going to gamble. Because, I mean, I don't know about you, but when I lived there, we didn't really go to the strip that much or gamble or any of that shit because you live there. It's no big deal.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
You could really get ahead there and live quite well if you are smart about it. And, you know, the housing market when I was there was different. It was still recovering. So we basically stole my house. It's worth like triple what it was when I bought it now. I just looked it up the other day, but it's still really affordable.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And I bought my house back in like COVID during 2020. So,
nice.
I mean, that was like a good time frame. I kind of got lucky with that. But, I mean, hopefully the interest rates and stuff drop again. Maybe I'll buy another property. We'll see.
I'm not even going to get into that with you, man. People get upset with what I got to say. Let us hope. I don't know that they'll get down in that 3% and 4%
yeah,
range.
Yeah, probably not.
It'd be nice to at least get back to 5%. I don't think people realize, though, because I was a mortgage broker. I mean, normally the best rates most throughout time were always 6-7%. We got pretty spoiled with those, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Those rates, but that's cool, man. So where were you originally from?
Tahoe.
Okay.
Yeah, South Lake Tahoe. Yeah.
So you lived in Nevada then anyway.
Yeah. I've always been kind of like near West Coast area.
Nice. Very cool. Well, I'm going to see you at the Olympia, obviously, this year. And
I
might be out again. I'm not sure. My stepdaughter's coming out there, I think, next week. She goes every now and then. She lives in Maui, but I'll be there for that. Hopefully I can come out there and hang out with you a little bit. I'd like to go to an NFL game or a hockey game or something. Would be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure, man. Yeah. Well, let's plan it out.
Absolutely. So yeah, man, I mean, I know that you are so busy and I appreciate all your time and coming back and doing this again with me. And it's always fun and a pleasure and an honor to have you on here. And you're my first guest and I'll never forget that shit. So it's always appreciated, brother.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, man. The first time better be the last too, whenever the last episode is someday.
Absolutely. Hopefully it's not for a long ass time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hopefully it's not for a while though.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. But everybody and give everybody you're easy to find, but is there anything you want to tell everybody on where to follow you and find you? And I'll put it in the description like I always do.
Yeah, so my house address is you can just search Kenny KO. I think all the majority of the platforms is like Kenny KO with 4 O's, but you can just search Kenny KO, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube. I'm sure you'll probably find me on there.
I would recommend subscribing, especially to YouTube and Instagram, especially do it to all of them. But, you know, get the notifications because he posts a lot of shorts and they pop up. I randomly get them even when I'm fucking driving and I turn them on and listen to them because they're hilarious and they're always fun stuff to watch. So, yeah, just make sure to check Kenny out. But like I said, bro, I really appreciate your time and coming back and doing this. I know you're busy. And so it's pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah, yeah, of course, my man. Dude, always a pleasure, brother.
Yeah, definitely. And you made me feel, I feel like shit today, but you made me feel a little better, so I appreciate it.
Hey, there we go. That's my man right there.
All right, well, all right, everybody. I hope you enjoyed this one. I know I certainly did. We covered a lot. And so, once again, stay tuned for plenty more to come. Dylan Jamelli and Kenny KO signing off.